You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is Pop Wiltfong.
I'm Joe Canale.
I'm Ryan Tweedy.
I'm Pat Jansen.
And my Canale.
All right, so you know who's here now.
For Nebraska and the Scarlet.
From Van Nuys, California.
About 15 miles away from Hollywood, California.
It's the Big Red Copcast.
Hey, welcome to Big Red Copcast. I'm Ryan.
I'm Pat.
And we have a very different sort of Copcast for this.
Yeah, we've got a lot of special guests this week because we were ringing the bell just now.
I know.
Yeah, that's my bad. We were at the Nebraska Satellite Camp that was supposed to be at Calabasas, but ended up at Oak Park because, you know,
fires.
Things light on fire when you haven't had rain in 10 years.
Yeah, and Brian Toll really hates it when we make Saban Harbaugh lit it started it jokes.
Does he?
Yeah, he got. Yeah, so I'm going to make one.
Oh.
Saban and Harbaugh probably started that fire.
I mean, you can't rule it out. I mean, have the police ruled, have they ruled that out?
No.
Have they come out and said Nick Saban and Urban Meyer did not start this fire?
No, but they do always say the same thing.
What's that?
Homeless people smoking cigarettes. It's always the same.
Are there homeless people in Calabasas?
There's homeless people everywhere, man. They're probably, because that's where the money is.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
Always go where the tourists and the money are, bro.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we got to see a lot of big time.
That was a Tweety tip, by the way.
Yeah?
If you're going to be homeless, go where the tourists and the money are.
Yeah, well, that's true. I went to Honolulu several years back, and that was actually the very first road trip I made as a play-by-play guy.
I thought you were saying road trip as in like high school road trip with your friends. I was like, you didn't drive to Honolulu, you liar.
But yeah, there was a surprising amount of homelessness out there. But I guess if you're going to be homeless, do it in Hawaii.
Yeah. Or Southern California.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so we were in Southern California, as we always are,
right?
And watched some of the best high school prospects in the nation working with Nebraska coaches. And that was we got to talk to a lot of them.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. You'll hear a lot more of me on these interviews because Tweety was roaming around taking pictures.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of lurking, waiting for people to stop talking to other people.
Yeah. We were both doing it together for a while, but then it just sort of felt like wasted time.
Yeah. And, you know, there were just really tiny windows to talk to people. So you had to just kind of get in there when you could.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had.
So it's in no part my laziness.
No, not at all.
Because that's what I think people are going to think. People are going to be like, oh, Pat's such a hard worker. Look at him go. He's so special and great. Tweety sucks. He's lazy.
Nah, it's because Tweety was out on the hot field turf taking pictures.
We're both sunburned as shit.
Oh, dude.
Pat's worse than I am.
Oh, my
God. Mainly
because
I was wearing a hat. So he's got the face burn, but I don't have the face burn.
Dude, when I lift my eyebrows this morning, I can feel my forehead stick. It's just, it's there in the three lines.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst.
Also, hey, just before we start, if you want, actually, you know what? I'm going to save that for the end. That's a teaser, guys. That's what we call it in the biz.
Okay. Are we going to do transitions between the interviews, or should we leave some notes beforehand?
Let's do a little bit in between.
Okay, got it.
So, directly.
So the first one is your future Husker quarterback.
Well, he's going to have to beat POB for it.
Correct. Well, he'll still be a quarterback on the roster.
Oh, unless they Darlington his ass.
Correct. But he was a quarterback for a little bit on the roster as well.
That's true.
So
he beefs up and becomes like a D lineman.
Adam Carriker was a former quarterback.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Tristan Gebbie is also like a buck 20.
I accidentally called him a Nebraska signee, by the way. He's a Nebraska commit. He hasn't signed yet. But here he is, Tristan Gebbie.
Tristan Gebbie with the hair.
We're with Nebraska signee Tristan Gebbie. Tristan, what's it like to come out just basically to, well, not your home field because of the fires, but to see all the red as you get here in the stadium today?
I mean, it's great. Nebraska fan base travels pretty well, and you know, I've already met a couple fans outside, and it's gonna be a great day today. We're gonna get after it.
What's kind of your feel for today? How do you think today's gonna go?
I think it's gonna go real well. You know, there's a lot of guys out here that we're trying to recruit, like Jameer Calvin and Joseph Lewis, and then you know some guys that maybe don't have the offer yet, but I know they're in touch, like Marcus Evans and people like that. Everybody's just going to get after it, and we're going to work hard, and we're going to show the best we can.
What's your excitement level going to Nebraska next year and having this team sort of come together, this recruiting class come together?
I mean, this class could be, you know, something real special. I think we could end up having like a top 10, maybe even top 5 in the nation. And that's something to say for sure, because Coach Riley's putting something together special up there, and I know we're all excited down here about it.
How much do you take kind of a leadership role on already, even though you've never stepped foot put a uniform on yet? How much do you already kind of view yourself as leader of the program?
Well, obviously I haven't put on a jersey yet, so I don't know how much I can possibly lead right now. But when I get there, you know, hopefully just doing the small things like encouraging people and doing stuff like that, just showing up on time to meetings, to weight room, and just making sure that I do the things that I can control right, and then hopefully to just grow into a bigger leadership role.
What kind of role do the fans play in the recruiting process?
I think it really says something when you can get 80,000 people always, you know, talking to recruits on Twitter, because, you know, Nebraska's always going to be in your face. Even if, you know, you might shrug them off at first, they're always going to be around. So I think the fans play a great role in the recruiting process, but ultimately, I think it's the coaches that really reel the guys in, because, I mean, they're a great staff.
Do you think you'll step on campus and have the best hair on the team?
I mean, there's some good hair out there, I guess, from what I'm seeing on Twitter. But, you know, I'm going to work my hardest at it, I guess. Yeah.
Cool, thanks, Chris.
So that was a one-on-one or a two-on-one interview, Ryan Tweedy and myself,
right?
With Tristan Gebbie. The next one is another Calabasas guy, Darnay Holmes, who hasn't committed to Nebraska. We jumped into a mass interview that was going on with him. So it starts a little bit kind of in the middle. He didn't compete at the camp. He had an academic test to study for, and really, who does he need to impress?
Yeah, and also, I'm just going to argue that he was not dressed for studying.
What do you have to be in to study? You don't have to wear a tie to study.
No, but you definitely...
He had shorts and some Jordans on. He was good to go.
I don't know. His hair was done pretty well. I mean, you don't comb your hair like that or whatever, you know, you don't make your hair look that good to go study. I'm just saying, I think there were some ladies involved.
Hey, good for him too. There's studying involved with that.
That's what I'm saying. Good for him.
All right, should we get to Darnay?
Yeah.
All right, Darnay.
How is the social life there, and how is the academics? So my family, my mother and my sister can go up there for the first time ever. So to every school I go to, so they can be up there to visit, see how they like it. And if they don't like it, then it's not the school for me, pretty much.
Have you set your official visits yet?
I haven't already set two official visits, well, three, to Nebraska, but I'm not for sure what game's going to be now, but to Michigan and to Ohio State.
Just when did you feel like, hey, I need to take a step back? Because obviously you're getting a lot of attention and a lot of coaches are interested, but like, at what point in the process were you thinking, you know what, this might be, I need to actually reassess everything here?
I feel like it was around like May-ish. My dad and I was like, that June 23rd date we set out, it's probably not the right time, because a lot more schools will start contacting you now since they have their seniors coming in that they signed. And so my dad started making sense, and I started making sense to my family and my sister and my mother and I. So it was like, that's probably the right decision. We wanted to celebrate your birthday with a lot of new memories, but now we have to take a step back and just celebrate your 18th birthday.
When you think about what you do well, for somebody who's never watched you play, what would you say your strengths are?
My strengths are right now. I feel like I'm a vocal leader. I bring that enthusiasm and that confidence to the team. And it don't matter if we're playing bad or playing good. I'm going to make sure my team is up because at the end of the day, we're still a family and we're a brotherhood. And I feel like once I touch the ball, I could do a lot of dominant things. But I'm not the type to talk about my talents. I feel like I got to give it back to my dad and my mother and my sister and all those people who's been around me since day one because my dad's program, the Pro A, I've been training there since I was 7. Now it's one of those national known things. And just to see what God has to offer because my dad was shot 7 times when I was about a kid when it was Valentine's Day. And my mom told us that he's been shot 7 times and it just hurt a lot. And since then, I became a man, honestly.
How old were you?
About like 9, 10. Yeah.
Do you remember it happening?
I was just outside playing with my cousin Deshaun, my brother, and my mom came over. She's like, your dad, and she didn't know what to do. My sister came and we just left and went to the hospital.
Did you ever figure out who shot him?
Yeah, but that's confidential information we don't share with the outside.
But they didn't get the person, the shooter never got arrested or?
Oh, yeah, he's arrested, yeah. Oh. Yeah, for sure.
Hey, just describe that bond with your dad. He played, knows the game. And uh-huh. Obviously, he trained with you and brought you up. But how deep does that go, and how much has he taught you about playing the game and dealing with everything?
He taught me more than just playing the game, just to be a guy who builds your brand every day. And everyone's looking at you every day. So what you do, other people want to do, and they're influenced by you. So make sure you make the right choices. But just having him by my side, he shows me the ins and outs of the game. Him and Big Keyshawn Senior, he's my goddad. So just having them and the Jebbia family, all these guys around me in Calabasas, is just a blessing just to be here.
Is your brother kind of going back through the recruiting process again too, or what's his?
Deshaun Holmes. Yeah, he had some mistakes in his life when he was a senior year. He didn't do too great on the test, but now he passed the test successfully, and now he's doing the recruiting process, starting back up again.
How's that kind of going? Go through that at the same time with him.
Yeah, it's going great. He's just doing the same thing as me, being patient with it. He's not going to rush into it how he did as a senior. But now he's just taking his time and see where he wants to land. And if we land at the same school, that's going to be a blessing. But if we don't, best of luck to him. And we're both going to go chase our dream.
Do you have an older brother, too? Uh-huh. He's at Arizona?
Yeah, I have an older brother who's at Arizona. He redshirted last year. But he's right behind. It's a 4-receiver core that's all seniors. So he's right behind him as the troops. Freshman, in my opinion, because he's first year playing football out at Arizona, so he's gonna do just fine. You guys are gonna hear about him pretty soon.
So that trio of guys, there's a lot of talent there, isn't there? What are the workouts like? What's the competition like between you guys? How much do you help each other?
Just at a young age, my dad always made me play with them. So when I was a kid, they were playing. I remember when I was playing. It was called the Big Dog Bowl, and my dad made me play with them when I was about like 10. They were about like 13. So since then, I always had that hard-ass mentality and that savageness in me because growing up with them, that they're not going to let you cry and just give up. You're going to be in a dog fight until you win. So that's what I learned from them.
Yeah, they didn't take it easy.
Yeah, not at all.
When you think about Nebraska and you're going over pros and cons, what are the pros that make you go, man, this could be the place?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like it was all pros going up to Nebraska. Just the right welcome in, the hospitality, just doesn't matter. It could be from a flight attendant. It doesn't matter from a waitress. Just that everyone's going to love you there, treat you as a family. And just having the coaching staff that they have up there right now is just a blessing to see them migrate from how Oregon State to Nebraska to a new place that no one knew about. I for sure know about Nebraska when I heard Mike Riley went up there. Then Keyshawn took us up there, Team 19, and we saw Nebraska and went to the spring game. It was really the first thing I was mind blown to see a spring game was sold out, and I was like, you're playing against yourself, so I don't want to be here. And I was like, this football town right here is for everyone. I was like, yeah, I can tell. So just everything they have up there is just great, in my opinion.
I know you have to do what's best for you, but is there something that says that being with your two buddies, too, would be a big-time selling point?
Yeah, that's definitely something I always look at when I'm going to come down to my decision is be with my best friends for another 4 years and probably another 8 to 10 years if we get drafted to the same team. So, you know, I'm not for sure on how God's going to work this out for us, but just know at the end of the day, we're all of us going to be successful.
you know, after being, you know, taking several trips to Nebraska already, when you take your official, you know, what are you expecting to see different? You know, what are you expecting to learn different about Nebraska?
I feel like this time I'm stepping as an athlete and be in the locker room, see how all the players are and see how they interact with incoming players, I should say. That's about it, because I've seen everything up there. I've been up there 8 times, so, and get canes once I land. That's going to be something I'm excited for.
Hey, what's it say about Nebraska that this many media people from Nebraska travel out here just to interview you guys at a football camp?
Shows that the love and support and respect you guys have for Calabasas is very deep, and just for California in general, that you guys are for the kids and not for the bad, I should say.
Hey, is it really true that you want to push it back because of your birthday, or is it just slow production on your reveal video? Is that what you're working on? You're working on your reveal video and slow
nah,
editing? Somebody's having a tough time doing post-production?
Nah, I'm just pushing it back because I feel like it's not the right time, but I'm for sure going to do a video with the Bleacher Report guys. Great group of guys, and I love all their work.
Perfect. Are you still Oregon? The Oregon game for Nebraska, or are you looking at maybe a different one now?
Yeah, I'm probably thinking and Fruit of is Fresno State, because I have my big brother, like a close family member, Tyquan Glass, plays for Fresno State, so that would be a great game to watch him debate his talents and see you guys go up there. Well, see you guys at your home stadium for the first time.
All right, so that's Darnay Holmes. Now the next one is the third of the three big Calabasas recruits in this class. The name everybody knows, Keyshawn right. Johnson Jr., because he was the first one to commit to Nebraska.
And his father is Keyshawn Johnson Sr.
That helps as well. There is a voice that you'll hear before we started talking to Keyshawn. This was another group interview. You hear Sean Callahan laughing about that. There were a lot of Nebraska fans now roaming the field at this point, because this was after the camp. It was kind of funny, and that most of them at this point were the older fans too. I kept that in because it made me laugh. But
oh yeah, and yeah, there were some pretty interesting folks. I believe Bernie Sanders was there. I'm not 100% sure it was him.
He's going to make a cameo in one of the later interviews.
Oh great, great.
So here's Keyshawn Johnson Jr.
All these Nebraska fans walking around.
That's so cool. I think it's so cool.
Are you ready?
I'm rolling, yep.
Well, Keyshawn, what was it like today just to have the opportunity to have Nebraska staff out here working with you?
It was amazing. You know, same thing I said to you before, just working with Coach Williams is always a great opportunity. You know, he taught me, like, releases, how to get out of press coverage, different ways to, you know, just manipulate the corner and just make football a lot easier. So it was overall great day.
Was today a lot different just because you now know he is your coach, where the previous time you worked with him, you were still being recruited?
Well, the first time I went to it, I was just trying to impress him, you know, just trying to show him what I could do. But now that I know that he's my coach, I feel like I could just get coached up by him, you know, just learn and just do what he's telling me to do.
Was he a little hard on you today?
He's always been hard on me since day one. So, I mean, it was always the same thing. I like that, though. It's cool.
What, you know, to have all these Nebraska reporters here, all the fans come out too, I mean, does that kind of open your eyes a little bit about just what football means to a place like Nebraska?
I'm going to have to get used to it if I'm going to Nebraska. So, I mean, it's a great feeling, you know. I'm excited. I'm used to it now, and it's cool.
What, you know, what's the plan for now? I mean, after today, what's next for Keyshawn Johnson Jr.?
What's next is just working out with my teammates. You know, the freshmen come in next week from my high school. You know, just teach them what I learned out here. Get my team better, and you know, just work out, get my speed a little better, and then just wait until January until I'm a Cornhusker.
You guys had a great team last year. What are kind of the expectations for Calabasas going into the season?
We won CIF last year, and then unfortunately me, Darnay, and a couple other people weren't able to play in the state game. So our next goal is to win the state championship. That's what we're striving for, and I feel like we can accomplish that.
How hard are you working, Darnay, to join Nebraska?
And Darnay is he's different. You know, he's a different type of player. He's a playmaker. He's just a dude. So, I mean, I really want him to be a teammate with me as well as in high school, so I'm working on him hard.
You going to bring him to the Oregon game?
Yeah, he's coming to Oregon game. He has to come to the Oregon game.
Was there anybody you were working on today?
TJ Pledger, the running back. Trying to get him an offer. You know, he's really good. And Marcus Evans, one of the corners. Brendan Radley obviously already has an offer, and I'm trying to get him to commit. And that's pretty much it. Jameer and Tyjon.
So we're going to move right in from Keyshawn Johnson Jr. to Keyshawn Johnson Sr. And
listen real close to what he says about Mike Riley, and then stop the podcast, rewind it, because that's what you do in 2016. Mm-hmm. Hit the rewind button.
Make sure you don't go back too far.
Yeah, don't go back too far, and then listen to it again.
Yeah, what was really interesting too, besides his comments on Mike Riley, he gave the longest interview of anyone. He was like a coach there giving a press conference. I found that just fascinating. You go ahead.
Oh, did you see his tweet after?
Yeah, I saw you retweeted it.
I retweeted it because there's something about it. He said after watching Coach Dubs, he wanted to become a wideouts coach before he gets too old. LOL. First of all, stop putting LOL at the end of shit. Jesus Christ. anyways, R-O-F-M-A-L-O or whatever the hell they... I hate that dumbass shit. Okay, anyways.
I just type ha 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 ha.
I hate it all. It's like I've been forced to somehow use exclamation points at the end of sentences so people know that I'm not being an asshole. I hate that. Okay.
Well, here's the cameo made by...
Oh, before we wanted to talk briefly about the thing he said about to Keith, the Coach Dubs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he said, you know, he wanted to be a coach because he was so impressed by Dubs and he just liked his energy or whatever. Keith Williams, yeah. So sign him. I say we sign him up a contract right now.
Keyshawn Johnson?
Yeah, because then he can recruit. If he's a coach, you can just send him to players' houses.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if they're all his kids' friends, I mean, it's not really a violation now.
Right, but...
Now you can just be like, hey, man, you're my buddy's friend. I can talk to you all months of the year.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, there's pros and cons to
both. Yeah, and the 7-7-on-7 tournaments, how would that go down? Probably have to stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, so never mind. Ignore that. Don't be a coach.
Well, at the end of this, I almost cut it at the end of... At the end of his last answer. But then I heard... a Nebraska fan thank him for all that he's done for Nebraska. Unfortunately, I cut off the recording at the camp before I could get Keyshawn Johnson's response.
Do you remember what he said?
I ain't done nothing for Nebraska.
Yeah. It was the best. That is Bernie Sanders.
All right, so here's Keyshawn Johnson Sr.
I got to tell everybody, I kind of let him make that decision a couple days prior to him when he shot the video. They shot 4 or 5 different schools. And prior to him releasing the video, within a couple days, he calls. I don't know where I was at. I might have been in my office or something. And he was saying that he thinks he wants to go. He says, I think I want to go to USC. And I was like, well, if you want to go to USC, go to USC. Just understand, when you walk in one of those buildings, there's some pictures and there's a couple places with my name on it and this, that, and the other, and da, 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 da. And he goes, well, yeah, but I kind of, you know, I like Nebraska better and more and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, well, go to Nebraska. It's up to you. You just got to realize that you're going to Nebraska. So it's kind of like, whatever you wanted to do, I'm with it. And at the end, he was like, well, I'm just going to go to Nebraska. And I was like, good. You should just call the coaches and tell them. I want you to call the other coaches to recruit you and thank them. And that's it. But just know, when you commit, you won't decommit to go to any other schools. And if anybody offers you, tell them thank you, but you're fully committed. And that's pretty much what it is. And I said, the only way you'll ever decommit is if Coach Riley isn't there come February of 2017, when you have to sign the national letter of intent. And that's it. And we'll have a clear indication of that before, if that ever would happen.
Is it your relationship with Coach Riley? Has it grown over the years, or has it just kind of developed it such a strong bond in college, it just stayed true?
No, it's been the same throughout. It's gotten better over the years. Now that I've had my son starting to go through the recruiting process, get a little bit older, now we got more to talk about other than why would you call that play, you know, at Oregon State? What were you thinking, you know, from afar, stuff like that. You know, I would probably text him or call up them like, you know, what the fuck were you thinking on that play? Why would you... Oh, well, G Key, you know. So it's kind of, right. But then since the recruiting process, obviously I'm in more contact with him and his family and everything like that. It's just, it's different.
I watched you today interact with your son. You coached him up, obviously. Are you hard? How would you describe your relationship with your son in terms of how you coach him?
I don't really. I coach him probably, you know, just as anybody else would. I just say little things to him. Like, you shouldn't do that. Why would you do that? You know. Are you, you know, why are you walking instead of jogging? Just simple, sure. Simple stuff like that. But I don't, you know, I tell him it's on him. It's up to you. I got a degree. Sure. I made a lot of money in pros. I can go to my ATM machine. It's up to you. It's all up to you. It ain't up to me. It's up to you. And I tell him the same way I would tell my nephew, I would tell my little son, and anybody. I've already lived. It's all, I've laid the foundation, the groundwork, the expectations is all on you. You're going to be graded harder by people, way harder. Okay, than I ever was, because you're my son, and people want to see you succeed, but they also want to see you fail because they want to say ha ha. But don't give them the opportunity to. And that's really the only thing that I ever try to tell him. I don't try to control anything. If he wanted to go to Texas A&M, go to Texas A&M. Just understand what that offense is. Mm-hmm. If you want to go to Oregon, understand what that offense is. Understand what that system provides. Understand what that education is. And that's pretty much all I ever say to him.
And to have the entire Nebraska staff come out here, almost because of the relationships they've been able to build with the Calabasas guys for a lot of reasons. I mean, how special was that to have everybody from Nebraska out here today for you guys?
I think they, you know, you got to look at, they're really truly a West Coast staff from Oregon State. And they've had the luxury of recruiting this area as well as other parts of Southern California, California in general. The difference is the brand of Nebraska versus the brand of Oregon State. And, yeah, I'm sure the Golden Rivals in Oregon State, people will kill me. But the brand is a different brand. Nebraska, Oregon State. Nebraska, Oregon State. It's not even in the same, you know. And so the fact that they can come out here, if they came out here for the Oregon State deal, that would have probably been what it looked like, show up. But the fact that it is Nebraska, Nebraska's been on the radar for however many years, and national championships and great academics and this, plus a well-known coach from the West Coast, kids are going to want to come out and want to be a part of it. Calabasas, you know, the three or four guys that have committed or in the mix of scholarships at Nebraska, I can't truly believe that those kids would have been interested in Coach Riley and Oregon State had they just wouldn't have. But this is Nebraska. It's the Big Ten. It's Ohio State. It's Michigan. Michigan State. That says a lot. And it's only a 2-hour, 45-minute direct flight now that Southwest and American Airlines have flights. So what's the difference between going here to Seattle or here to Texas to play? It's, you know, it's pretty good, I would think. And once the kids actually get on campus and they understand that most college campuses, in my opinion, what I told my son, we visited God knows how many schools. They're all the same. The only ones that's different are Seattle, USC, UCLA, Ohio State, that are in big cities. Everything else is small towns, and the town revolve around the school. And that's what you're going to get, unless you go to a big city.
Keyshawn, how did Mike Riley impact your life?
How did he?
Yeah.
Well, he let me call some plays. That's number one. he just, you know, just in terms of a genuine coach that you can trust and you believe and you understand and he understands you. And it's, I was telling somebody earlier, they asked me what the difference is. And I said, well, he's not, you know, everybody thinks that you have to be this coach with a whistle in your mouth, screaming and yelling and snarling at everybody all the time. That's not, you don't have to take that approach. You take the approach just like he has, and he's been very successful at it. Yes, he hasn't won any Rose Bowls at Oregon State, but you're probably not going to win any Rose Bowls at Oregon State because you're not going to get the quality of player, you know, that can compete with the other teams. So, you know, when you look at that and you know what he is as a coach and secondly as a human being and as a person, that's all you need, you know. You don't need to, a guy who will not take suggestions. I remember in college we created some plays that has lived on. And people look at that and they can't believe that we sat down and put that together. And he'll never take the credit for it. He just won't. But I know that that was something that he put together because pre him, you never saw that play. Post him, you see it all the time. And that's just the type of individual. I had coaches before that you suggest something to and they look at you like you're crazy and tell you, okay, you never see the play. At least if you suggest something to him, he goes, okay, he tries it, sees if it works, and the next thing you know, it's either in or it's out.
You mentioned how exciting it is to get another kid from Southern California. This is a real thing, this Calabrasca stuff, isn't it? It's got to be pretty exciting being in your spot, seeing what's happening.
No, it is. You want to, you know, I want my son to go to school around people that he's familiar with. That's good. And I think the fact that they can come into California and recruit, and California kids are not afraid to go 2.5 hours, 3 hours away from home to play their ball, I think is a plus. Plus, you know that there's a lot of talent here. And Nebraska's kind of handicapped because it's in Nebraska and there's nothing really, around in terms of big cities, and it's hard to recruit to a place that I guess you consider it hard to get to. I don't. If I had to go to Denver, go through Omaha, fine. So what? So be it. If I had to go to Minnesota and come, so be it. But a lot of people think that that's terrible to do. And the fact that they can come out here and get and garnish the attention of all these different high school prospects, it's just okay, this is a real, let's go. Let's try to, I think they'll probably wind up landing about 6 or 7 guys out of California this year for this class.
You mentioned the brand of Nebraska. Do you think it's still the same brand as it was during your playing days?
Yeah, so the Nebraska brand is going to forever be Nebraska brand. Think about it. What brand of football? There's about 10 different, there's about 10 different college football programs that you won't leave for another job. And Nebraska happens to fall into that 10. You nobody leaves USC unless they're going to the pros. Nobody leaves Texas unless they're going to the pros. You don't leave Ohio State. You don't leave Alabama. You don't leave Michigan. You don't leave Nebraska. You're not going to all of a sudden leave Nebraska to go coach at Colorado or go coach at Minnesota or go. You're just not going to do it. But you'll leave Florida to go coach Alabama, or you'll leave Florida to go, what I'm saying? So it's only a handful of schools that's like that, and Nebraska falls under that. So the brand, although their winning percentage hasn't been as strong under Tom Osborne, but this isn't the same. It's different. So you got to get over it. Got to get over that. You got to let it go. You can hold on to the memories, but that is not, it's not the same. USC's not the same as Pete Carroll. We got to let it go. It's different now. Oregon's not the same as Chip Kelly. You got to let it go. And so I know it's hard for fans to really understand that, because they want to see, they want to see that. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to be at home and watch it on ABC, and Nebraska, we ranked fourth in the country, and they're losing to Wyoming 3-9, beginning of the fourth quarter, for instance. By the time they got to it was 56-9. It's not like that anymore. It's parity in college football.
Thanks for helping Nebraska.
All right, since we're on a wide receiver theme, we're going to go ahead and move into our real brief interview with Keith Williams at the end of the day.
I want you guys to pay special attention to how short his answers are.
I think he was a little tired by the end of the day.
I think tired, and also I think he really does he wanted to go get to the recruits. Not in a dirty, filthy, Jim Harbaugh kind of way, but I think
they were there to recruit.
Well, and honestly, I think he genuinely likes them.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to go build relationships with them, get to know them, learn about them. It's not he doesn't see money bags or whatever, or you know what I mean?
Yeah. What's most interesting to me about him and Trent Bray is that they're the two hardest coaches on those players at the camps. They ride them, man. But the players love it, especially the wide receivers, man.
Well, and I would say it's because part of it is equally balanced between, if you have a coworker, right, that is an asshole, and he's always you need to work harder, but every time you see him, he's not doing shit, you sort of lose respect for him. But if you've got a coworker that's like, hey man, you guys need to step it up a little bit, and they are fucking going balls to the wall over and above you,
mm-hmm.
then
which both of those two
which
dudes
is
do.
Keith Williams is a grown ass man running alongside high school kids, making them look slow.
Yeah.
So you have to. How do you not respect that?
Yeah, watching him in person in drills is impressive.
Impressive, to say the least.
And then, we saw a moment with Trent Bray where he got fired up because there was a fight that almost happened.
Almost a fist fight between two players.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. Shame on that one coach.
Oh, from one of the high school
teams? From one of the high school teams who sort of instigated it behind the scenes, and Trent Bray didn't see all that because it happened right next to us. And, like, I get it, man. Kids will be kids, and you should just let them, you know, just give it to them a little bit. Let them get it out of the, like, I'm not one of those guys that says, you know, whatever. But he literally was like, the next time you see him, man, just put your hands on a little extra. Like, come on, man. What are you doing? And then you expect, and then, you know, this is a drill. Like, get out of here. I don't know. It irritated me that he did that.
Yeah, and also probably it's not a good look, though, if you want to start a fight after you got beat. Like, that just says, like.
But that's not the guy that Trent Bray.
He initially got mad at the one kid, but he got mad at both of them.
Right.
Because he didn't want to fight on his hands at a high school camp.
But he said to the one kid that technically was. He was the most aggressive of the two, but he was retaliating. The other kid started it. He was like, get him out of here. Like, he said that to one of the coaches.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, but it was also over, so he wouldn't have got to go again anyways.
Yeah.
So, but.
That's us recounting a fight that nobody saw visually other than us and a couple players.
And one of the kids had a bloody lip.
Yeah. But that's our way of saying Trent Bray and Keith Williams both have a lot of fire. Yeah. So here's Keith Williams.
We're with Coach Keith Williams, who is a super popular dude right now. How do you think it went today?
I think it went really good.
Yeah?
Really good, yeah.
Yeah, you know, with kind of that last-minute move, how do you think the planning and everything just, you think it all fell in what you were expecting to do?
Oh, yeah, you know, things like that, when it's things like that happen, you're just glad that you can even put the camp on, you know, at all. So it didn't end up with a great turnout anyway, so it was good. Yeah.
I got to say, the level of energy from you was always expected, but in this weather, long sleeves and sweatpants, you came to sweat, huh?
Well, I'm not really a guy that worries about the heat. I'd rather be a little warm, to be honest. And so I was raised in Stockton, and so that's in the valley, and it's always pretty hot out there in the summer, so I'm kind of used to it.
Now, obviously saw you with some big name recruits, and now you're back to campus fairly soon with some that you've brought in yourself now getting ready for the season. What's kind of your preparation now as you head back to Lincoln and get ready to go for Monday?
We just go back. We got at some of our camps to get ready for on campus, and so we get back, and we're trying to, you know, you try to recruit, and you also got to get prepared for the season, you know, in your own season, your own fall camp and things like that. So you just try to, you know, manage your time best you can and multitask.
What are you looking for in the wide receiving corps next year? What do you expect out of them? Do you expect them to be the best wide receiver corps in the league, or what are your expectations moving into next season?
I want them to be individually and collectively better than they were, whatever that means. You know, I want Riley to play better. I want each of them, Westy, I want them all just to play better. And then when we look up, we look at the wins, and we look at their play, and then you just make your own evaluation at that point. But I want their expectation level to be just one thing, play better.
Okay.
Play better.
That's great.
All right. Well, Keyshawn Senior is calling for you, so we'll let you go. Thanks a lot, Coach.
He won't stop calling.
All right. Thanks a lot, Coach.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
So it wasn't just Nebraska coaches who were at the camp. Angus McClure, who coached under Bill Callahan at Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
I didn't ask him about Bill Callahan, and I regret that now because I'm always curious about that. But he was watching his son, so I didn't.
Yeah. I went up to him. I was going to ask him about it, too, but then he was watching his son. I didn't want to be a dick.
But did ask him about the rumors of him joining the Nebraska coaching staff this past offseason. He gave a fairly coach-speak answer about it, but he seemed, even off the air, really, really, really excited about UCLA's season this year. And they open up against Texas A&M, so that's going to be a bit of a challenge. But here's Angus McClure,
the loser of the bowl game.
Got UCLA assistant coach Angus McClure, who's got his Nebraska roots out here at the Calabasas camp. Not at Calabasas, obviously. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great. It's a nice day here in Oak Park, and I'm just glad to see that the camp was able to move over here, and looks like it's gonna be a great day.
Yeah, you've got a son out here.
I have a son that's he's going to be a junior this year at Crespi High School, so he definitely wanted to come out and show the Nebraska, Hawaii, and Cal Poly coaches what he could do.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you've obviously got ties to Nebraska and to Coach Riley, and there were I thought it was kind of funny in the off season. You know, you were dispelling rumors from the very outset. What was that whole situation like when everybody was coming to you asking if you were coming to Nebraska?
Well, I'm fully committed to UCLA, and this will be my 10th year at UCLA, and I've really enjoyed my time with all three head coaches I've been with, but really respect what Coach Mora has done and what we're building at UCLA. And you know, every year there's going to be jobs that, you know, open up in college football. And as the rumor mill goes, my name was out there and stuff. But, you know, like I said, I'm really happy to be at UCLA. And obviously, I enjoyed my time at Nebraska. Just looking forward to, you know, continue what we're doing, and hopefully we'll get to see Nebraska on the field again.
Yeah. What was kind of the experience like this past year in Santa Clara?
It wasn't a good day for us.
Besides the obvious.
Everybody knows we had a rough third quarter defensively and offensively, and the Huskers were able to pull away there at the end. And it really showed me that just the projection and the direction that Nebraska's going right now under Coach Riley, and it looks like a promising future for them.
We were just talking, though, a couple minutes ago, and you sounded pretty excited for the Bruins this season.
Yeah, we're really excited. Josh Rosen will be a sophomore this year. He's our quarterback. He was named National Freshman Player of the Year, so we're excited with him. We have quite a few returners on defense, which we're excited about. I think our front seven is well established, a lot of depth. Our secondary may be the strength of our team this year. Fabian Moreau comes back, we lost him in the first game last year. Our star defensive lineman, Eddie Vanderdoes, we lost him in the first game, so we'll have him back. So we're excited. We're going to be a little bit young on special teams. We have a true freshman kicker, punter, and snapper. So we'll have our work cut out for us. So those guys will have to grow up quickly before we head to College Station and play Texas A&M.
Yeah, you were mentioning that you've got some ties at A&M, so that kind of makes the season opener a little bit more fun for you.
Yeah, my uncle's been there for over 20 years. He's, you know, the dean of sociology, and he's an expert in China, in Chinese relations. In fact, he was on President Bush's consultation committee when it came to things with China. But anyways, it'll be fun. My whole family's going to fly out to College Station, and we'll get a chance to reunite our family and throw some jabs at each other before we meet on the field the next morning.
So what's more likely? You guys both talk about football, or you both talk about sociology in China?
We'll do a little bit of both. We'll do a little both, and, you know, maybe we'll have a satellite camp over there next year.
Well, I'll let you get back to watching your son, but thanks a lot, Coach.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks a lot.
One more non-Husker person who we talked to, one of the quarterbacks of the Los Angeles Rams, Sean Mannion,
yeah,
who set a whole bunch of records at Oregon State under Mike Riley and Danny Langsdorf. I like him because he's tall and skinny. So, you know.
Yeah, a man, where, Mannion, it sounds weird.
Yeah?
It sounds like a weird name to me. Like a condiment. You pass the Mannion?
What mixture of condiments is that?
I don't know, mayonnaise and onions? So, like a mayonnaise-based relish? A mayonnaise and onion-based relish? Like a German relish?
Oh, that sounds kind of good right now, actually. I'm hungry. We talked with Sean Mannion, or I did. I tracked him down a little bit. That was my creepiest interview get. He went halfway around the track because he was really excited to see Coach Kavanaugh, and I met him there. But we got the interview out of it while Tweety was taking pictures and periscoping. Here's Sean Mannion.
All right, we're with a former Oregon State quarterback, one of the most prolific quarterbacks in NCAA history, Sean Mannion, now in the NFL. Sean, you've had experience with most of this Husker recruiting staff. What led you to come back and kind of see the guys?
Well, you know, with the Rams being out in L.A., you know, I'm, you know, less than 20 minutes from here where the camp is, so an opportunity to come back and see all my old coaches from Oregon State or with Nebraska now. That was, you know, it was a... easy trip for me, and it's fun to get back here and visit with everybody.
So what have guys like Mike Riley and Danny Langsdorf meant to you and your career and just your life?
Oh, I mean, they've meant so much, so much to me, both on and off the field. From a football perspective, I felt like, they helped me develop so much in college, with the scheme that they ran and really preparing me for the NFL. And then off the field, they're people that I, consider, as close as family. So, I think that's the atmosphere that Coach Riley and Coach Langsdorf bring to any program. When I was at Oregon State, that's what they had there, and they're bringing it to Nebraska now. So, they mean so much to me, both on and off the field.
As a fellow tall, skinny guy, you were always one of my favorite quarterbacks anyway. Now you're out in L.A. with the Rams, certainly love following your career. What's kind of your take heading into the season now with the Rams?
Well, it's been exciting. We're about halfway done with OTA practices. I think we got six more. So it's been a great offseason. Our team's working really hard, and everyone's getting adjusted to L.A. nicely. And, right now it's just, with a lot of moving parts with the move and stuff, it's all just about focusing on football. And I think our team's done a good job of that. So. With a few more OTA practices left to go and then a little break before training camp, I think our team's in a really good spot.
So now with the guy who was your coach in Lincoln and your school up in Corvallis, who do you find yourself rooting for more in the season now?
Oh, I root for both. Coach Riley is very special to me, being my coach in college. So obviously I root for Nebraska. But then again, Oregon State's, that's where I went to school. And, I still have a lot of friends on the team. And Corvallis is always going to be, where I went to college. So I root for both teams. I wish nothing but the best for Nebraska, and I'm always pulling on the Beavs as well. So I obviously root for both teams.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good one.
And of course, the last interview, the man himself, Coach Mike Riley.
Yeah, who is the nicest? He did give a. I'll say this. I've been blown off by a lot of people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Riley blew us off pretty solid originally when we asked for an interview because he was busy.
Yeah.
And it was the politest blow off I've ever experienced, but also the most, like, clearly a blow off.
Well, I mean, I kind of anticipated that just because the timing of it, end of the camp, that's the time that you have to catch the players before they leave.
Right.
I get it. And eventually he gave us one, like a big group interview, like right. With Sean Callahan and John Niatawa and Robin Washett and that whole group, Michael Brunts. There, I think there was at least a couple more. Huge amount of media from Nebraska there, by the way.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I don't really consider us media. I mean, we technically are media. We have passes and we have cameras. And
we introduced ourselves as comedians most of the day.
Yeah. So there's definitely a way that they do things. That is like, and we, for the most part, we understand it and we know how to do it and we've done it before, but I don't like it.
What didn't you like?
I don't like the fact that everybody got the same goddamn interview. I wish they would have all left and just let us do all the interviews.
Well, I mean, we ended up, they asked more questions than we did, so stuff.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. But like, I wanted to challenge Banker to an arm wrestling match.
Yeah. Well, I would have loved that too.
But you don't get to do that when there's 15 people interviewing someone.
This is true. This is true. There's an awkward moment in the middle of this Mike Riley interview, like right as I'm starting to ask a question. It's not entirely me just being awkward. Guy dropped his sunglasses. I wanted to make sure he kept looking down to make sure he wasn't going to step on him. So I just grabbed him and I handed him to him because I didn't want Mike Riley to break his sunglasses.
Right.
So it sounds like I'm starstruck. I wasn't. I didn't want the guy to break his nice red Oakleys.
Right.
So there's that. Did you have something else you wanted to add before Mike Riley?
Mike Riley, everybody.
All right, Mike Riley.
Oh, it was great. I think it was, people adjusted, worked hard to get this thing underway, because we had a whole bunch of camps scheduled, and then when they kind of said no for a bit there, and then they brought it back, we had to kind of readjust, and the one of them that we wanted to do was here. We're going to do them back in Lincoln, then that'll be great. And I'm going to one in Detroit for Adidas Sound Mind and Body next week. But this was a real focus for us, and then we ran into a fire, and we had to adjust. But all these people worked hard for us, had a great turnout, lots of good players. Our coaches did a real nice job working the camp, and the people, the Calabasas High School, Casey Clausen and that group did a great job of putting it on.
Yeah, last year you guys did kind of more of a tour, but with everybody in the world doing a satellite camp now, it's really watered it down. I mean, why was Calabasas the one kind of all-staff camp that made the most sense for you guys?
Well, we've obviously had a little buzz out here and done a lot of work out here. And the other thing is I have relationships at this place, and so do some of our coaches that go back many, many years. And I think a lot of recruiting is really built on that trust and relationship part. So we kind of wanted to follow through on what we kind of got started here and what we intended to do from the start. And that's one of the reasons there. There's guys that have kids that I coached, that out when I was living out here on the West Coast years ago. So lots of good connections, lots of stuff that I think, that can, as we go in the future, pay dividends.
It's only 2 hours long, but what can you really get out of a two-hour event like today?
Well, one of the things is, for sure, is that we want to make sure that they get something out of it, right? That it's not just, finding the very best athlete that's in the camp. So we want to be prepared coaching what we're going to do, which our guys did a nice job of. And the other thing is the players know that this is also an opportunity for them, so we want to give them an opportunity to have repetitions and to practice football a little bit. And then the other part of it is real, is that you'll see players here too, guys that are or could be prospects. So there's a lot of things about a camp like this that can just provide and enhance opportunity in a lot of different ways.
I noticed that how well some of your staff members were interacting with kids. It's got to be cool for the kids to see how you guys do business. I think that's one of the byproducts, isn't it?
I think that is one of the best points that can be made about the big picture when a young man has to decide. Everybody, us offering a scholarship and them selecting the school, everybody wants a whole bunch. You want as much information as you can get. That's one of the bottom line things that you're looking for, is you want information. We need to know not only how good this player is, but what kind of person is he. And they like to know. They want to know, basically, really, do they have many opportunities to see how we coach, to see how we interact with people, to see how we interact with players, see how we teach drills. I think it's outstanding for them to be able to look at our staff and say, man, I'd like to play for this guy. He just ran me through some drills, coached me some stuff. This would be a good fit. And in the end, everybody, that's the one word I like to use, is everybody is looking for the right fit. The player is, the family is, we are, Nebraska is. It all is all pointing toward that.
Back at home, your players and freshmen report tomorrow. Are you expecting everybody to be there day one, ready to roll?
We do. We expect all of them to be there, everybody to get started at the same time, and that means all the academic part of it, it was all in line.
How important was it for you to be back for that first Monday? Because obviously you could have stayed out here longer, maybe done some more camps, but I know you wanted to get back for that opening Monday.
Well, when we shifted gears coming out of the fact that they weren't going to have satellite camps, I immediately said, okay, there's two things we can do. We can spend more time with our own team, be here for the new guys that are coming in, and then get more guys to our campus. And then when they brought satellite camps back, what I've tried to do from there is blend those two ideas. And so I've sent a lot of our GA's young people to some satellite camps. We obviously are doing a couple full-fledged as a staff. But I really want to, I think all those things that we just talked about are really important. And I want to do it all. I want to be there for our team in Lincoln. I want to bring kids to Lincoln. And we're going to do a couple of these as we can and still blend that whole idea of what I just talked about.
You mentioned the planning today. I didn't want you to step on those.
Thank you.
did you lose anybody that you were expecting to see today? I know you can't mention names, obviously, but because of the hubbub surrounding it?
I don't know. I don't think so. There was you know, usually when you get a list, it's kind of like hopeful, you know, because, you know, you see this deal, are these guys all coming? I will tell you this, overall talent today was as productive as a camp as we've ever had. You know, the overall number of scholarship appearing players that were on this field, pretty high percentage.
Mike, did you name captains?
No, did not.
Do you do that tomorrow, or is that before fall camp?
No, actually, we've normally done it in the summer, but I'll have some information for you guys soon about that. Okay.
Got it.
Okay.
Right.
Trying to get one out of you.
Way to throw a curveball in there. Catching me off guard.
Those are our satellite camp interviews.
Yeah, and we have one more satellite camp and probably a couple of high school games later on the season. We may go up and check out some games. We'll see. Also, I just wanted to say that we periscoped the shit out of that camp yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
You can still find those, I think. I think they last for a while. I'm going to try to embed some in the article. Also, so follow us, and we'll be periscoping the other stuff during the season as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the rest of the satellite camp, so we can – well, the other one in L.A. and then some games. And it's
and
a lot
just
of fun.
Whatever we feel like doing, you know?
Yeah. It would be fun to get, like, maybe we can get one of these guys to do, like, a Periscope with us, and then they can answer your questions directly.
That'd be great.
So, we'll see. Yeah.
I think that's it.
Okay. Hip hip.
Hooray.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.